have you been?
Muted, so we'll see when he unmutes.
Okay. We're at 2 o'clock, Mr. Lloyd.
I don't think I've ever seen Bob late.
He is on there. Bob. Hello, Bob.
He's in the participants there. He hasn't raised his hand, though, right?
Right. Let me send an email to him.
Well, you know, there are some, I don't know where they're broadcasting out of or recording from, but there has been another power failure in SLO this afternoon.
I think they're in Morro Bay.
Okay.
You could potentially start the meeting. I'll record it to the cloud and he can join in if you would like.
Well,
hold on a second. I got a text. Give me a second.
All right.
Iosana, this is Jalen from AGP. We are ready to start. Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay.
Okay. So for whatever reason, they just weren't able to communicate that to us.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll record.
All right.
Okay. Recording in progress.
Thank you, Iosana. Good afternoon. This is the Cambria Community Services District Board meeting. And this is Thursday, September 9th, 2021. As a call to order, may we have the Pledge of Allegiance, please, Asana?
Yes.
If you'll join me in the pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And we have an establishment of quorum with all five directors present. And I'll move on to the president's report. There isn't anything specifically that I have at this time for the president's report. So we'll move on to the agenda review, additions and deletions. Do any of the directors have any deletions to the agenda, today's agenda? And seeing none, we'll move then to item two, board member communications. And Director Dean, I believe you have something.
Yes. It is with a very sad heart that I tell you that Dwayne Lee passed away on Wednesday, September 1st. Dwayne was a member of the CCSD Standing Committee on Finance, as well as a very active advocate for the environment. Dwayne and Joy came to Cambria in 2012 to visit Joy's friend, Judy, and fell in love with our little piece of paradise. And within 2 weeks of being here, they began their quest to purchase a home here. Dwayne so appreciated being able to live in such a beautiful community that he immediately began doing volunteer work in order to give back for the privilege of living here. In addition to sharing his financial and business experience with the CCSD Finance Committee, He also served as treasurer on the board of Green Space, the Cambria Land Trust, as well as being involved with Green Space's environmental advocacy work and with all of their many events. Duane was also involved with the Monterey Bay Marine Sanctuary and California State Parks. Duane was a true gentleman and a cherished friend. My husband and I are grateful, to have had Duane and his wife Joy in our lives. And we have cherished memories of our travels to Scotland and Ireland with them, as well as many evenings playing games and hearing stories of his experiences of his many dive trips off the coast of Cozumel when he was a scuba dive instructor. Our hearts go out to his wife, Joy, and to his family. Duane will be greatly missed.
Thank you very much, Director Dean. He certainly was a significant contributor to the community in many ways, and our thoughts and hearts go out to his wife, Joy. And Director Farmer?
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. I just want to mention, among all the things that Director Dean just allowed us to, you know, visit as to what it is that Duane contributed to this community, he also made an effort to, he ran in 2016 to become a member of our esteemed board. And that only not takes a tremendous amount of commitment to run for office, but to commit for to be willing to commit 4 years of your life. So Duane was also willing to do that. I just want to mention, with regard to Duane and my knowing of him and spending time with him, that he was someone who always called it like it was. You could count on him to offer sound advice. While I didn't know him nearly as well as Karen and Alan, he was a true friend. And as Karen said, he will truly be missed. And I just say this, Duane was a great guy. If I had to say anything, he was just a really good person. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Gray?
Yeah. Thank you, Director Dean, for that wonderful summary of Duane's life here in Cambria and your work and friendship with him. I think I want to second something Harry touched on, and that was kind of brought out by Karen's short history of Duane in Cambria. Almost the second he got here, he wanted to get involved and he wanted to help and he wanted to serve. And he wanted to serve in ways that were, as Harry mentions, not that easy and quite demanding. I mean, he was a very, very good person to have on the finance committee, very effective, also very, polite, civil, never spoke in anger, never spoke disruptively. He was always very constructive. And I do note, as Harry did, that he ran not just in 2016 and got on the ballot and made a real, made the full effort, but also he ran for the appointment. And he and I were in somewhat of a debate situation a little bit. And I got a lot of respect for him for doing that, for the way he conducted himself, for his public presence and his service to this community so much in so little time.
Thank you, Director Gray. I'll add my final closeouts to this. There isn't a lot additionally that I can add to what the other directors have already voiced. My interaction with Duane was primarily within the finance committee, and I agree very much with Director Green in terms of the contributions that he made there and the manner in which he did them, which was actually a true indicator of him as an individual and as a man. So he will certainly be missed within the community and by his many close friends here. And again, our thoughts and hearts go out to his wife, Joy, for the time that she will be making adjustments in her life with his loss. So thank you all for your words. And I'm hoping that that will carry forward for Joy to be able to hear as well. So thank you. And are there any other board member communications? Then we'll move on to item three, which is the commission report, and that is the pro-chairman's report. And I see that Mr. Niffen is here. So Mr. Niffen, please.
Thank you, President Steidel. I will try to be brief in my comments to move us along. The agenda that we went over on our meeting on Tuesday, we revised our pros, goals, and objectives to try to more match what we were requested at the last CCSD meeting, and that passed unanimously. And then we got an update on the skate park, and we got an update on the East Ranch restrooms, which there's really nothing here that I can discuss on the skate park more than what you guys already know. And the East Ranch restrooms are going to, we'll get into that on the agenda, so I won't touch on that. And then the last thing that we discussed at our meeting was the revising of the master plan and hiring a consultant to look at that, which was a recommendation, I believe, from you guys to our group. And that passed on a 4-1 vote to go ahead and hire that consultant, which I guess would be along the guise of your staff doing that work, which was led to an interesting conversation, which I don't want to belabor at this point right here. But if you've got 2 hours, I'd encourage the community members, watch that meeting. It's entertaining. And so that being said, one of the things that I've got here looking at me, that when we talk about communications on our guidelines, our bylaws and guidelines under number 7, which is commissioner procedures, D says that the board shall appoint a board liaison to the commission for the purpose of improving flow of communication between the entities. And I know in the past I had mentioned that Harry or different people at different times had actually served on our board, or at least been given the responsibility to be at our board to act as the flow of communication, because I kind of think it would be better if one of you guys saw our meeting and then reported back, hey, here's what the meeting looked like to me, one of your fellow board members, instead of me necessarily telling you what occurred. Because one of the interesting things on the 4-1 vote, I was the dissenting vote. So if I was to distribute that information to you today, it would be rather jaded, because I would be like, rah, rah, because I wasn't for it. But the commission was for it. And the board member that you had as a liaison would be able to disseminate that information to you better than somebody that voted against it. Anyway, I'm going to just end with that, saying that I do believe that that might be a good idea to help with communication. Thank you. I'll take any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Devin. And I agree with you. And I think that in establishment of the other standing committees that we've had, that all have chair people assigned to them, with a participant on the committee being the vice chair, that's been very effective in being able to communicate information back and forth between the board and those standing committees and the expectations. So that was something that I wanted to bring to the board for discussion. It won't be on today's agenda because it isn't agendized for discussion, but I just want to let you know that I agree with you. I think that would very much facilitate a lot of the things that the pros commission's involved in. And just as a follow-on to your question, yes, the staff would be the individuals who would be establishing a contract with someone to be able to provide those services to pros in review of the overall plan. So one thing I did notice that Mr. Soto is here today also, so we have him as a resource to be able to ask any questions when we go through and review the plans on the bathroom, I believe. Is that correct? Mr. Niffen?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay. And that won't be happening right at the moment, Mr. Soto. I just wanted to confirm that your availability was here for the board members to be able to ask some questions if they have them. So thank you so much for coming. It's appreciated.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there anything else, Mr. Niffen, or is that it?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will then take public comment on anything which is not part of the regular business. And the limit, please, is 3 minutes per speaker. And Osana.
Yes, thank you. Lisa Marie Belsanti, go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, board directors. My name is Lisa Marie Belsanti. I live in Cambria. I'm in the Park Hill neighborhood. And I was unable to attend the meeting where Skate Cambria and the restrooms on the East Ranch were discussed. We've been involved in the Skate Cambria effort. It's been the reason why we've been able to transition from recent expats of Los Angeles area into the community fabric here in Cambria is through this grassroots group that is Skate Cambria, whose focus is on community through our kids. I don't understand how a grant that was fought for and designed by the Skate Cambria group can now be reallocated for restrooms on the East Ranch. I really hope that this group can really think long and hard before applying monies that our youngest kids who are just learning about the public process and how government works, that this could be kind of, you know, in their eyes, kind of how they could be duped into all of the efforts and the rallies by reallocating it towards the master plan efforts. So it is my hope that this item comes back for full consideration at a time where parents and kids can voice what they would like to see in Cambria, which isn't mutually exclusive. Of course, the master plan is important. I understand that, you know, these things take time, but these kids have been waiting, you know, half their lifetimes now. You know, we forget, you know, we're in the latter part of our lifetimes, but half their lifetimes they've now been fighting for this park and visibility as part of the fabric of this community. We have a lot of services for our older residents and very few for the youngest among us who are just trying to figure out who they are. So I really encourage all of you to think about the message this sends to community members who've really gotten involved at the grassroots level to bring an amenity to our community that we can all enjoy, even though I'm not going to be skating. I will be standing outside grinning and cringing as I watch my young one navigate. So thank you very much for your time. And I hope that you.
Thank you, Ms. Belisanti. I will just make one observation in terms of feedback for what you've offered to us. The grant money that you're speaking of is not something that was derived or devised here. It is something that it's a state grant, Prop 68, that has a lot of different facets to it, and one of which would support the kinds of things that we're looking at. It also has limitations in terms of timing of when it can be applied for. And so that's part of what we have to take into consideration, as well as the difference between whatever money we can get from the grant and whatever money we would have to spend on the choices that we make, because those affect the district and the community overall. So those are the things that we have in consideration and have been being discussed over time, and I'm sure we'll be discussed some more. So I hope that some of that information will be of use for you. Thank you. Osana?
Yes, Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I was going to speak in public comment on the PROS report, but that was not raised as a possibility. So let me just add something to the previous speaker. Once again, at the PROS meeting, there was considerable deep request, frequent request, for the timeline for the skate park process and procedure to go on the CCSD website. I know, President Steidel, that it's a long process of much deliberation and consideration with all manner of details of state law, grants, et cetera. But this is an intelligent community, an active community on the skate park, and it would be marvelous for the CCSD Board of Directors to request the general manager to publish this timeline, tentative though it might be at the moment, on the CCSD website. I asked that first 6 months ago, and I repeat it. I do want to say something else, though, about a meeting this evening at 6 o'clock from the Coast Unified School District. They will be considering again the possible redrawing of the election districts for the school district board of trustees. They have hired the National Demographic Corporation, just as you have back in April. I looked again at the agreement that you signed with the corporation, and we are slightly overdue already, according to their description of what they were going to provide. We are overdue on some public hearings. I urge you, please, Board of Directors, through President Steidel, to inform the general manager of this district that you want an update on this procedure at least once a month. Why? Because as a community member, I'm concerned about the redistricting also of the healthcare services here in Cambria. And I'm concerned about how this is being worked out by you with my money. So please ask that the general manager report on this regularly. And I urge you all to watch, if your closed session doesn't go too long today, tune in at 6 o'clock, because you will hear a stunningly intelligent discussion of the many issues involved here, discussion by the Board of Trustees of the school district. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. I appreciate your concern about the healthcare services, but unfortunately, the CCSD has no influence in that regard. Osana?
Ted Key, yes. Ted Key, go ahead, please.
Madam President, I've timed my comments this morning to 3 minutes beginning now. On July 29th, I was called to respond to a sick sea lion by the Marine Mammal Center, and I located the animal by Pico Rock on the State Park beach. When I arrived, I found red liquid discharging and pooling up from the sand directly in front of this animal, who had to crawl through it to return to the ocean. I noticed two district employees on the bluff above, known as the flag lot, and Mr. D'Enzo informed me that they were pressure testing a tube that was installed at some point for desal per request of the state parks. The state parks had no idea this was going on, and I referred the matter to the Coastal Commission, who also had no idea, even after discussing the inflow study with the district the day prior. This pipe was installed in 1993 when ocean outfall desal was being considered and then dropped in 96. The pipe, which was supposedly being only air tested, is clearly ruptured at tide line and completely unusable for any discharge purpose. Further investigation discovered this activity was in response to a lease extension in the State Lands Commission. The 25-year lease on this section of beach expired in 2020, and letters on this matter were exchanged between the commission and CSD in 2019 and 20. Response to my PRR did not include my requested specifics regarding the activities of Paul Reichardt of Terrain Incorporated, who was contracted on several occasions to evaluate this outfall. It also did not include a summary of our engineer's findings. The stated purpose on the lease reapplication is to maintain these nearly 30-year-old pipes, which again are ruptured at tide line. One logical conclusion exists, that the district continues to pursue ocean outfall of the hazardous effluent from the EWS WRF into the sanctuary. Also disturbing is that at least three directors had no idea any of this was transpiring, no mention in any meetings at all. One would think that a lease extension would be a matter for their awareness. If I were a board member, I'd be angry about being left in the dark. The last UN report informs us that desalination worldwide is introducing a salt tablet into the oceans the size of Florida, a foot thick every year, concentrated salts being heavier than the surrounding saline fall out of the discharge to the seafloor, grow with volume, and destroy the surrounding areas. It is not sustainable. If the district is to commit to environmentally sound policy, this extension should be abandoned immediately. Cambria's best solution to sustainable water is to build the Warren Reservoir and fill it with reclaimed waste via zero liquid discharge system, not ever to mistreat the ocean with yet more hazardous effluent waste. As a member of the policy committee, I'm currently writing climate policy. Cambria can be a leader in demonstrating how small communities can heal the damage already done to our planet. I shall continue to advocate for those policies on the policy committee and as a Cambrian. Cambrians are counting on the board to align its policies and practices for a sustainable future. Let's have a district that employees and ratepayers can be proud of. Let's start today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King. Osana?
Thank you. Ms. Amanda Rice, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, board. In light of what appears to be a growing threat of drought and the fact that Cambria is approaching 20 years since the last intent to serve letter was issued and a Water Code 350 emergency was declared, today marks 7,260 days since that emergency was declared. When Elon Funky Blue was on the board, he was on the board when that decision was made. At every subsequent meeting, he announced how many days it had been since the moratorium was declared. It's a practice that I took over in 2009 after Funky Blue left the board. A Water Code Section 350 allows water agencies to declare a water shortage emergency whenever it determines the ordinary demands of the customers would deplete the water supply to the extent that there would be insufficient water for human consumption, sanitation, and fire protection. It requires the agency plan for reducing demand in stages and allows them to declare a moratorium on new connections. It was October 25th, 2001, the last time the CCSD issued an intent to serve letter for a new home. Windows XP came out that year. An iPod could hold 1,000 songs, and it cost you $400. The initial threat had to do with a threat of MTBE contamination to Santa Rosa Creek and not knowing how much water was available in San Simeon. Now that you have somebody under contract to figure out how much water can be safely withdrawn without affecting the habitat, you will have a number for that. The numbers that you are going to need to be paying attention to is how much is enough and what do we mean when we say reliable? How much water is enough for people to expect in their homes? How much is enough? And how reliable does it need to be? Cambrians know the electricity sure isn't 100% reliable all the time, but their water sure is. You turn on the faucet, the water comes out. That's 100% reliability. To guarantee that is going to cost a lot of money. So the judgment calls that this board is going to need to make for Cambria's future are the things about how much is enough and how reliable can we afford to be.
Thank you, Ms. Rice.
Thank you, Ms. Rice. And Christine Heinrichs, go ahead, please.
Thank you. First, I'd very much like to support all the previous comments. This skate park at the current location has general community support, and it should be a top priority. To my own comments, I would like to thank Mr. D'Enzo for clarifying a point of confusion regarding the EWS-SWFWRF Coastal Development Permit application. when he reported that he submitted responses to all the items on the county's information hold, I thought that that would have included item 1A, the required letters of concurrence from state and federal agencies. He informed me today that there are no such letters because he is awaiting data from the in-stream flow study before the agencies respond. Therefore, this requirement has not been fulfilled, as he stated or certainly implied. What responses has he filed? He says that the county does not make those documents public until all responses are submitted, but the district can make them available. Please make all documents that the district has submitted available. As they are official communications between public agencies, the public has a right to review them. Thank you. Also, Mr. Weigold has said that the district will never close the public restrooms despite the drought. He cites a minuscule percentage of water used by the restrooms. By that logic, none of us need conserve. My personal water use is an insignificant percentage of district use. But conservation is exactly that. Small savings by everyone to stretch the water supply so all can be served. Closing the restrooms would also be a step in educating Cambria's visitors in 21st century water use. I ask you to close the restrooms and replace them with porta potties now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Osama?
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Cecilia Montalvo, go ahead, please.
There is a very
long attempt. Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to speak just for a moment. My husband has spoken previously, and I am also on the healthcare district boards. You heard from the whole board about the importance we feel of the skate park here in Cambria. And I really just wanted to urge you to keep this as a top priority relative to other things. I understand there are other things. But I think that this has gone on for so long that it really needs the attention of the board and the administration to help get it packaged in time for the grant application. I share some confusion because I watched last month's board meeting. I didn't speak, but I watched it, and I thought I understood from that meeting where this board was headed and what the gap was between what the skate park needed for the grant and the deadline. Today, now I can't, I mean, maybe you'll discuss it later in this meeting, but it's very confusing that quickly, all of a sudden, there are a very mature plan for the restroom and the skate park isn't progressing at equal speed. So I think it's very confusing to those of us in the community who really want to support our kids. And I just think it's a very important project for the health of the kids in this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Montalvo. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Dave Pearson, go ahead, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, Madam President and Board. I am asking that the board consider placing an item on the near future agenda to discuss the accounting of and eventual use of the settlement monies from the CDM Smith lawsuit. I suggest a separate reserve be set up if it has not already been set up, and that the board refer the investigation into possible use of those funds to the staff or the R&I committee or a new ad hoc committee as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pearson. Osama?
Thank you. Yes, Jeffrey Smith, go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. Just wanted to speak again quickly on the skate park. It's clear where the communities stand on this. There's just been so much support with the amount of funds raised, the Chamber of Commerce supporting it, the health district supporting it. I watched on Tuesday the PROS commission meeting where PROS was just livid trying to, say, this is our top priority. How do we make this clear it's our top priority? So I just want to, there's a lot of confusion around timelines, around intentions, around what's happening with the park. I'd love for us to be able to put that behind and show that everyone's on the same page. We're moving forward with full support. In last month's meeting, there were some great motions brought to the table that PROS had recommended, and the board did move forward with making the motion that the park will be at the location of the old park, that the grant application will be submitted. There was, though, a final motion around trying to say that 100% of the funds from the grant will go to the park. I know the board held back from taking that, from actually bringing that motion and voting. Part of the reason was you didn't want your hands tied in case, you know, something came up and the park couldn't move forward. Just like there was an agreement on the park being at the old location, there are some caveats put into that motion. As long as it could be built there based on, you know, geotechnical professionals telling us that there is a reason, no reason that we can't build there. I'd love to see the same sort of motion brought to the table with some caveats that doesn't, you know, tie your hands if for some reason the project can't move forward for some external circumstances, but basically saying that the CCSD board stands in full support of the park, and we have the intention of putting the funds 100% to the park as long as it can move forward for, you know, something out of our hands blocking it from moving forward. I'd really love to see that. I mean, those funds are enough to almost, you know, bring the park to start construction. They match essentially what's been raised on the public side. We've raised 170, almost 180,000. The grant can bring that right there, and we're all basically ready to go on construction, shovels in the ground. So I really urge the board to take a motion like that, clear all the confusion, and make sure we're all on the same page and support moving forward. So thank you so much for your time and everything you guys have done so far on the project. We understand it is a little priority in the big world of what CCSD is managing. And so appreciate it so much. And thank you. I hope we can clear this up and, you know, stop all the confusion that's out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Some of the confusion that you're expressing, I think, has to do with some of the basis of information also. So please, you're more than welcome to give me a call, and we can have a conversation, and we can go through some of those specifics so that you would have a better idea of it. They've been expressed several times in forward or prior board meetings, several of the major items have to do with the fact that it was an impermanent above the ground structure before, and now in some form it has to be below ground because of new building requirements by the county, and we don't have land use authority, and so the effect of that is something that we would have to deal with. That and the price ranges that had been brought to the board initially was that the price would be in the $600,000 to $800,000 range. We don't have any better information than that, and we don't have the final designs that are due to us on the contract from Spawn Ranch, including the obligations they have in that contract to make the initial contacts with the county. So until we can get that information in hand so we have the ability to make decisions, you are absolutely right that there's confusion, and there are certain things that we just cannot be, we have to be fiscally responsible about and have to have the information in hand to move forward. So again, please give me a call. I'd be more than happy to have the conversation with you. Thank you. Osama?
Yes, we have Ted Key. He spoke already. I don't know if he forgot his, maybe. Okay. What would you like to do?
Mr. Key has already spoken as well. Mm-hmm. So, he's had his opportunity to speak.
Could I have an opportunity to speak?
I'm just checking to see if there are any other attendees who want to speak, Director Farmer, and then I noticed your hand was up, and I'll come right back to you. Thank you.
Yes, President Steigel, I have two written.
Two written? All right, thank you.
One is from Lori Slater. Dear CCSD, please come forward with a plan to manage this severe drought, educate the public, and implement commercial and residential water rationing. Lori Slater. And from Tina Dickinson, CCSD Board of Directors, I bring your attention to the elevated temperatures we are already experiencing, and that will continue to rise in the next 10 days and possibly beyond. Here is a link to one site I checked, and looking at others, I see a similar pattern predicted. And she has a website connected to it. And then I find it quiet, incredible, and irresponsible that the agenda for this Thursday has no agenda item addressing our water supply and stage of drought that we are currently in. Stage 4 left the station some time ago. I realize the general manager and utility manager give their reports at next week's meeting, but there is simply no excuse for not addressing the situation at this week's meeting. One has to seriously wonder what you are all thinking. While the Lions Club responsibly canceled Pine Dorado due to COVID issues, I am not aware of the Scarecrow Festival or the Christmas market being canceled. For COVID and our vulnerable water supply, will there be sufficient water for the community and these events? You are responsible for making sure there is water for the community, first and foremost. Tina Dickinson, Cambria Concerned Resident, Ratepayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Asana. And all right. And so coming back, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Steidel. I just want to follow up on more than one comment that was made by members of the public with regard to putting the timeline with regard to the skate park up on the district website. Such as what has been done so far and when, what else needs to be done? Is there, at what point do certain specific requirements need to be completed with regard to getting the skate park going? And also, maybe since you were saying there seems to be a certain amount of confusion out there with regard to what actually is going on with this project, maybe we could have, as often when you go somewhere, they say, well, questions answered. Here's, frequent questions asked. Here's your answer. So we could just maybe have five or six particular questions answered as to the concerns that the public seems to have that is causing the confusion. So maybe a timeline, like I said, what's happened, what needs to happen, and when, and what might be causing confusion in addressing those things. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. And I agree, those are all good recommendations, and some attention needs to be put to that. Thank you. Any other comments? No? All right, so we'll move to the consent agenda then. And before I bring it to the board, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding consent. And there doesn't appear to be any. I don't see any, Asana, do you? And do we have any written? Okay, fine. We'll bring it back to the board then. And do any of directors have any items that they would like to move from consent? Okay, I see none. So with that being the case, consent agenda items, I'll entertain a motion for passing. Director Gray?
I move that the consent agenda be approved.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Director Dean, all right. Okay, thank you. So, Asana, with a vote of 5-0, we've had an acceptance and passing of the consent agenda items A and B.
They didn't vote yet.
Minor detail, I guess, huh? Jeez. I apologize. It was consent. Yes, may we have the roll call, please?
Sure. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director Gray, aye. Thank you. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean, aye. Director Farmer, how do you vote?
I vote aye, and maybe we should make it advise and consent. Just a joke.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. And Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell, aye. And President Seidel?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the last. Was it my name? I didn't hear the last piece. Yeah. Yes, if that was my name. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Thank you, President Seidel. Aye. Five ayes for the consent agenda items. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Osana. So the consent passes 5-0. Thank you, everyone. We'll move on to regular business and agenda item A. And Mr. Weichel, will you introduce the item, please?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 6A is discussion and consideration to nominate an alternative representative to serve on the Integrated Waste Management Authority, or IWMA, Board of Directors. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider nominating an alternative representative, an alternate representative to serve on the IWMA board. While the IWMA has been in the news a lot with the pending separation of the county supervisors from that board, it is continuing on at the moment. We don't know what form that's going to take eventually. There's lots of work being done behind the scenes among those directors on that board to reshape it. But still the board continues on. And so this, is a chance for, our board here at CCSD to nominate an alternate representative, to serve there. As you know, each of the cities in the county have a representative and the special districts have one representative. This would be an alternate for the entire board, and you are by no means required to nominate anyone if you so choose. With that, pending your questions, that concludes my report.
Thank you. So first I'd like to ask if there's any public comment regarding agenda item 6A.
Yes, I have a hand raised. Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I'd like a clarification. Do I understand correctly that you are nominating someone to fill the position, which is now vacant, of the alternate representative on the board for special districts? Is that, I want to say something more, but is that accurate? An accurate description of what you're now looking at?
Mr. Weichel?
My understanding is this is an alternate for the board, not the board doesn't, this is not an alternate for the special district representative on the board. It's an alternate director for the board.
Am I still unmuted? I want to be unmuted, please. I have not finished my statements.
We can still hear you, Dr. Bettenhausen.
Oh, thank you very much. I see that Mr. Carmel has his hand up, I think, for a clarification, because I think the general manager is not understanding.
Thank you. Ms. Bettenhausen, thank you for...
I do want to say something else, though, on the subject after he's done. I have not spent my 3 minutes yet.
Mr. Carmel?
This is an opportunity to nominate an alternate for the special district seat on the board itself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The current representative is Robert Enns from the Cayuga Sanitary District.
Okay. Right. And then it would help to clarify this if you said who then chooses among all the nominees from the special districts. I assume that's the board. the existing board. But let me say what else I'm going to say, because this is just an instance. I would very much, given I've looked at Board of Supervisors agendas and materials on this item. This is a crucial item for who picks up my trash. I've said this to you before. And how this gets planned and sorted out financially is a major question. I don't want to spend $4 more every month, which is one of the real options here, if, et cetera. I don't want to describe all this to you because you can certainly read the documents yourself. I ask only, as a resident of Cambria and a ratepayer, please give Cambrians an update regularly, at least bi-monthly, on what is happening here with this issue. This is a major responsibility that you have taken on, namely to provide garbage pickup for this town. And it is now being really threatened by, as General Manager Weigel said, behind the scenes manipulation. Well, he didn't say manipulations, but I do. Behind the scenes work. And I hope that we get updated regularly so that I don't once again have to come back and blab out the same thing to you, please. I make a serious request.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Just for a point of reference, the backup information that was provided did not define that it was an alternate representative. Oh, the subject is the CSD. Yeah, alternate representative. Okay. The this alternate representative would be, for instance, Robert Ines is the representative for all of the CCSDs. So in other words, this isn't Cambria specific. It's for all of the CSDs that use the services of the IWMA. And in addition to that, the issue that's been created is because the majority of the directors on the IWMA board, who are for the most part supervisors from the Board of Supervisors at Slo County, were the focal point of removing Slo County as cities from the IWMA. The special districts sit outside of that judgment. So it's places like San Luis Obispo and all the other major cities of the county that contract through the sanitary services that would have to create their own entities within their cities to do that. What that did is leave basically the special districts in a position of needing to decide whether to continue on with the format of the IWMA and potentially have to streamline it, change it, constructed in such a way that it can well service and effectively service special districts. They are in the process of going through and determining what some of those constructs will be. So we would only be available, we would only have information available to us that they share with us, or that they're in a position that they want to release. So there isn't anything specific to Cambria, for instance. It has to do with special districts overall. And until we get information from them, we're not in a position to provide information. That's the flow down of the way things happen. So certainly we would provide any kind of status as it's available. But until it's available, we don't have status to provide. So to get back to the agenda item, so what this is whether we, for our board, want to have someone who will choose to offer themselves as a candidate for being the alternate representative for special districts on the IWMA board. So all of the other special districts will be going through this same kind of nomination process for people from their districts. Mm-hmm. And then there would probably be a vote on that. So it's entirely possible that someone volunteering to be a candidate from another special district would be the individual selected. Mm-hmm. So that's what the process is here. So it's a matter of whether any of our board members want to have themselves considered as an alternate representative for that review process and potential election as the alternate. Director Farmer.
I am not raising my hand to to nominate myself to do this. I just want to get some clarification. So I see where it says in the agenda item itself, the term expiring at the end of 2022. So whoever the lucky person is that happens to be this alternate will be serving for, you know, a year and 3 months or so, give or take. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to like to know, you know, what are the obligations and duties of the alternate? They'll be attending what, monthly meetings? What, like I said, what are their duties? What are their responsibilities in this position? And also to follow up on something that Ms. Bettenhausen said that I had written down, people might wonder, well, this is about waste management. It's about trash pickup. Is in any way, shape, or form this, how could you say it, this friction that's going on between the Board of Supervisors and the IWMA in any way, shape, or form? And maybe our legal counsel can give us a clear answer on this. Is there any worry that we as a community need to have with regard to the future of trash pickup in Cambria?
Well, having watched the IWMA meetings that they were doing the votes on as it went through the process, I will say that there were specific reasons that the Board of Supervisors who voted for it, for leaving the IWMA, had for doing that. In some regards, they may not have recognized the significance of movement away from that organization. I don't know if that will change anything in what their perspective has been and the vote that they made. I would be surprised, because they've already, you know, gone down a certain path. But the effect to Cambria will be not only the effect to Cambria, but all other special districts.
Well, so
until there is discussion amongst the participants to understand all of the elements, there, it's impossible to say what kind of impact that there's going to be. Mm-hmm. If everything goes well, all the special districts decide they want to participate, and IWMA as an entity with the disposal services can negotiate good things, then it'll be good. But I think there are a lot of things that will probably end up having to be settled along the way. Mr. Carmel?
It's my understanding that the seven cities will remain, at least it's my mm-hmm. understanding, but I represent one of the cities. There hasn't been formal action taken, but will remain with the IWMA, as will the special district representative. There's going to have to be major retooling of virtually everything, the JPA, the bylaws, their rules. But in theory, it will be seamless. The costs may change, but it will not interrupt garbage service in Cambria. Mm-hmm. We have our franchise. We'll continue to operate our franchise. You know, they're an overseer, so to speak, and they're a very important overseer. Right now, when we have SB 1383, which is this critical bill that triggers a lot of onerous requirements that the IWMA was assisting greatly with, everyone, including our district, that takes effect on January 1st of 2022, and it's right in our face. So there's a lot of work to be done, but it shouldn't really impact the service itself. it may impact costs, and certainly SB 1383 will impact costs. It throws in a whole new loop of dealing with organic waste. That's very expensive. But in theory, it's not going to impact the service itself. I just wanted to sort of make that assurance.
Thank you. Is San Luis Obispo the only city that...
No, San Luis Obispo is staying. They haven't taken formal action, but all of the seven cities have, their city managers have informally met and all seem to be interested in keeping it alive, keeping it going. It's a very important organization, entity, I should say. So it shouldn't change. And one thing I should note is the special districts, I think there are 8 or 9 of them that have garbage powers, so to speak. So they have franchise agreements. Mm-hmm. They're wholly underrepresented. There's one representative for 8 special districts. Mm-hmm. Every city has a representative. Yep. So there would be eight people left on the board, one special district rep. And I know there's been discussion about adding perhaps 1 or 2 more special district seats. That'll be coming before you probably hopefully in the next few months.
Excellent. Thank you for that background. Mm-hmm. Director Gray?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions about who's eligible. It sounds to me like, I think from what I've heard, that almost anyone can be nominated. I was asking, though, in particular, in our case, can a staff person be nominated, or does it have to be an elected director?
It has to be a director.
Has to be a director, okay. Does it have to, in other words, it only can be a director? We can't nominate a citizen member or anything like that?
No.
Okay. One of us.
Right.
Okay. That's all I have to ask. It's all my questions for now.
Okay, Director Gray. Vice President Howell.
Reading the letter that we've received asking for the nomination, it's not clear that we necessarily have to nominate someone from our own board. So we could nominate someone else. That's my understanding. If that's the case, I do have a nomination to make, but I want to be sure that that's in order.
Mm-hmm. That would be my understanding also. Mr. Carmel?
Another special district board member? Yeah, that's certainly possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will make a nomination then. I'd like to nominate Cynthia Replogle. She's already showed considerable interest in the IWMA and was warned us that this was coming down the path well before it became public. So I think she's heavily involved and would make a good special district representative.
Okay, thank you. Is any further discussion or a second to that?
Well, I'll go ahead and second that. I've spoken with Cynthia on a few occasions, and she's very committed to doing what's right, mm-hmm. Environmentally and most every other way. And she's a very bright person. So I think that's an excellent nomination for Vice President Howell to make. And I would say this, with regard to her knowledge on this issue, it probably extends beyond anything that anyone on our board knows. So,
yeah. Thank
you. I think you're right. All right, we've had a first and a second for the name offered by
discussion.
Vice President Howell. And Vice President Howell, could you spell the name, please, as that it's an unusual?
Yes. Cynthia, that's standard spelling, as Cynthiael Replogle, Replogle. You want me to repeat that? So Replogle. I just finished looking it up on some of our correspondence.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. All right, we have a first and a second for Cynthia Replogle, correct? Thank you. May we have Director Green?
Discussion. I do want to raise a point. We can discuss, right, before voting?
Yes.
My one problem with nominating, I mean, I know Cynthia Replogle too, and she's been very active and outspoken and on issues before the IWMA, but I don't know if we should totally give up on the idea of our having a representative there, even as an alternate, because it sounds like from from what even this kind of sketchy note tells me, we are not getting, we almost need eyes and ears. We need a little more of a presence there. It'd be nice to have someone who is on this board, and I'm not volunteering necessarily, but someone on this board to be the alternate for Robert Enns. Alternate's job is probably not to do much voting, but to at least be aware of what's going on and also representing Cambria, specifically representing the ratepayers of Cambria. So I would respectfully, I mean, I respectfully dissent, and just in case, anybody, just in hopes that somebody might, one of us might come forward. I'm not volunteering, but we'll see how this vote goes. But I do think it's important to have Cambria represented in some fashion if we can.
All right. Is there any other discussion? I'll offer again because there wasn't anyone that took up the calling before as being a volunteer for this. So, okay. So, Osana, could you take roll call, please?
Yes.
Director Dean, I'm sorry. Did you have something?
Well, it's okay. I was just going to say if this vote fails, then I nominate Director Gray.
Okay, I mean, I'm fine.
Thank you. Thank I'm you, fine. Director Dean.
Yeah. I volunteer if it goes. If it goes, yeah. Yeah, that way.
Okay, now let's take it back to a little more formalized structure here. Okay, yeah. We have a nomination of a name and a second. So is there another formal nomination? No. All right, so we'll move forward then on a vote for the nomination provided by Vice President Howell. And Director Dean, your hand is up. Is there another question?
No, I was just going to formally nominate Tom Gray. A second formal nomination.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
All right, so is there a second to that nomination?
I'll second it.
All right.
I'm sincere.
So not having been faced with this before, Mr. Carmel, what's the order and precedence here for which one is voted on first?
I would take the first one first, and then the second one second if it fails.
Mm-hmm. All right, fine. So for the nomination of Cynthia Rapogal, roll call, please, Osana.
Yes. Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell, aye. Director Farmer, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. Director Dean, how do you vote?
No, because I do think it should be someone from our board.
Thank you, Director Dean, no. Director Gray?
No.
Okay, Director Gray, no, and President Seidel.
Well, no. And Director Gray, if you'd like to take that on and keep Cambria in the foresight of the IWMA, then...
Fine with that. Thank you. Thank you.
We do have to vote on it again.
Yes, we need to vote on that. We'll call for another roll call from Osana.
So the vote to nominate Cynthia Rapogal does not pass. Two ayes and three nays. And so now we go to the second formal nomination.
Right. So the
that was made by Director Dean.
The motion for Cynthia Rapogal was defeated on a vote of 2-3, and we'll move to the second nomination for Director Tom Gray. So roll call, please, Asana.
Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer?
Abstain.
Abstain. Thank you, Director Farmer. Abstain. Vice President Howell?
Abstain.
Thank you, Vice President Howell, abstain, and President Steidel.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Three ayes and two abstain.
Good question to follow up. Who vote? Is the vote done by the IWMA board?
No, the vote's done by the San Luis Obispo County chapter of the Special Districts Association.
Okay, thank you.
So Director Gray's name will be put forward on behalf of a nomination determined by the CCSD board to be entered in with any other nominations to this alternate position and to be voted on. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, so we will move then to item 6C on the agenda. And Mr. Weichel, would you introduce this, please?
B. 6B?
6B.
6B, yeah.
I'm definitely getting, I apologize. Working with too much paper in front of me today, and I moved on to C rather than B. So to call agenda item 6B, and Mr. Weichel, would you introduce the item, please?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 6B is discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 35-2021, establishing a policy providing for review by the board for the issuance of will serve letters for projects on the existing commitments list. It's recommended that the board discuss and consider this adoption of this resolution, establishing a policy for review by the board and for the issuance of will serve letters for projects on the existing commitments list. Background on this is that as a result of your meeting in July to discuss a number of items. This is one of those items, recommendation two from that list. Coming back for your consideration in the form of a resolution. Again, that basically a policy that will consider all will serves for new projects on the existing commitment list. Our district council standing by if there are any further questions as well.
Okay. Before we move to public comment, I do want to clarify something in this because the term will serve is also used in consideration of things that are related to existing properties doing upgrades or adding a deck, those kinds of things that I don't want to have confused with the concepts of the will serves in this. So I just wanted to highlight that. We're not making references to those circumstances. It's the will serve letters for projects on the commitments list specifically. Okay, so if we could move to public comment, please, Sana.
Yes, Amanda Rice, go ahead, please. Amanda, go ahead, please.
Oh, can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, I was on mute. I just have one quick question that's kind of central to understanding this. Review by the board. What does that mean in practice? Does review by the board mean that you will get an information item at a public meeting? Or does it mean that you will have some decision to make that you're going to review it for either allowing it to go forward or not? So is it going to be an action item or an information item? It's not very clear. Thank you. That's my question.
Well, in terms of discussion and consideration, if it's brought to the board in that format, generally it's because there's a potential decision that would be being made. So it's dependent on whether it's just for information purposes or not when things come individually to the board. But they would be defined in that way, in that context, when they're brought forward. Osama?
Sorry. Yes. I will give Dr. Bettenhausen. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I appreciate former Director Rice's question. I think it's a very legitimate question. Your resolution now states for board review and discussion, but it does not say deliberation or consideration. So you might want to amend that resolution. I'm very much in favor of the resolution before you, 35-2021. I want to point out regarding your existing commitments for will serves. Back in 2001, when this process got going in its current form, the allocation that was set aside by CCSD board constituted for existing commitments constituted about 6%, a little more, of all the pumped water by CCSD. So these existing commitments would get 6% of the water pumped by CCSD. If the policy stands as it still is regarding existing commitments, that is now above 11%. So if you approve the existing commitments just blithely, you would have these existing commitments using over 10% of all the water pumped by CCSD. So it would often be helpful to have these historical documents in hand when you deliberate then on will serves. So I urge you to adopt this resolution, but perhaps amend it to make explicit that this is not simply receiving information before the general manager acts. This is the board deciding what to do with each particular case of a will serve letter. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Osama?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Ted Key, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I totally agree with the people who commented before. I want to know that any will serve letter that is issued from this district has received board approval before any other staff, what have you, issues a intent to serve letter for certainly any new construction. So please make sure that that this is about consideration and approval by the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Key. This is in regards to will serve, not intent to serve letters.
Well, yeah, okay.
Just for clarification.
Yeah.
Christine Heinrichs, go ahead, please.
Yes, just a point to be made about will serve and new construction and whatever grandfathered, whatever guise you would like to use. I am very happy that these permits will be discussed in public and that the board members will go on the record as approving them. However, the Coastal Commission has pointed out repeatedly that Cambria is not in a position to add any new users under any guise. Those grandfathered projects that are so often mentioned, they've said there are originally 64 of these projects, but there are no more pipeline projects. Cambria already does not have adequate water for its residents and visitors. Do not add more. And the Coastal Commission has told you repeatedly they will deny these permits. So I strongly advise that you approve this measure and begin that discussion in public and in future. Deny these at the district level rather than troubling the Coastal Commission with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Are there any other public comments? No. Mr. Carmel, I don't know if you can address this or enlighten some references on things like grandfathered and what other kinds of legal commitments we may have as a district,
Certainly.
No matter how they're viewed by other agencies.
Certainly. I'll give it a try, and then I'm going to kick it over to Melissa because she's the queen of all will serves and intent to serve.
Yes.
And knows far more about them than I do. These are existing commitments, and that's why they're called commitments. These are actually commitments. Some of them are contractual. Some of them are commitments from grandfathering, but they're commitments. If there is discretion involved in one of these that come to you from the existing commitment list, if there is some discretion involved, you'll be able to exercise it. Staff will certainly inform you as to what the basis of the commitment is. Perhaps if you don't think the commitment is valid, you may want to deny it, but those circumstances are hard to foresee. That's why the word consider is not in there. I don't think it would hurt to put the word consider in there, but again, these are existing commitments. They're effectively entitlements, and I know people don't like to hear that, but some of these were created in the 90s. Most of them were, all of them were created before the moratorium. So that's really why it's worded the way it is. And I think the intent to serve ad hoc committee was clearly aware of this. That's why that wording is used. Did Melissa run away?
She's there.
I'm still here.
She's here, yeah.
Oh.
Melissa's here and we can go to her, yeah.
That's really my understanding, and I'd love to hear her understanding as well.
All right. Melissa, perhaps you can run the educational scroll for us one more time.
Yeah. I agree with pretty much everything that Tim has said. The only thing I would add is that I did add the unbilled active service transfers back to the existing commitment list. So those aren't necessarily pre-moratorium commitments, but those are active service transfers that at the time of the transfer could and probably should have built, but for whatever reason chose not to, and that was their right. But they range from as far back as 2001 to as recent as 2019. So those are now included on the existing commitment list, and those would come before your board for review. The other piece that I think is important in this conversation is the local coastal program does expressly say that we are not supposed to allow any new development to use essentially groundwater from our two basins. So these projects would all be required to offset their water demand. There is an existing demand offset program on the books, but it is it's been pretty picked apart by Coastal. So we are actively working on rebuilding that. And we are collaborating with the Coastal Commission and several other agencies that have successful programs. So that will be coming before your board as well. And in the meantime, my understanding is you could condition these however you wish, including that they use some sort of alternate form of demand offset in the interim before we've established a new program, something that would be acceptable to the Coastal Commission and the county.
Thank you. And before you leave, Melissa, I just wanted to address the term on will serve because number one, we're just talking about commitments here, but in later discussions when we're talking about will serve, that doesn't affect or address remodels because that facet is something that's a function of the county's authority because there's already a meter in the ground, there's already a house that's built and somebody wants to make a remodel or a renovation on their home, then that's going through county planning and then coming to NCAC for review. Are all of those appropriate statements?
Yes, I think the way the resolution is drafted, it expressly applies only to positions that are on the existing commitment list. Mm-hmm. Both remodels and these positions do receive what we call will serve letters. Intent to serve letters we issue for positions that do not have a physical connection to our system. Everything on this list does have a meter in the ground.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Director Gray.
Yeah, just a short question for Melissa about how much this covers. This also doesn't cover active meter transfers, does it? Active service transfers.
It does. I've begun putting them on there simply because there's no better way to track them. And some of them are becoming issues because they're so old. So we had an active service transfer that was denied at the Coastal Commission. It was the oldest one. It was from 2001. So they had transferred the service away in 2001, went to develop it, and were denied because on the basis of it being new demand after having, languished for so many years.
I'm thinking also though of transfer. Let's say there's also a demolition and build, demolition and new construction on an existing active meter. Does that get covered?
It would be my personal recommendation, yes, just so that it's clear what's happening, because nobody else in the community is going to know that house on a corner is, how it was reviewed. If it was a one bedroom, one bathroom shack, and now it's a three bedroom, mansion, it makes sense to bring it before the board so that the community gets the information on how we review those plans, how we account for the added water demand, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to make a motion if it's in order.
Certainly we can take a motion.
Yeah. I move that the board adopt resolution 35-20201, establishing a policy providing for review by the board for the issuance of will serve letters for projects on the existing commitment list.
And do I hear or see a second for that? Director Dean, your hand. You're muted, unfortunately.
Sorry. May I request a slight amendment to the adoption of the resolution? So based on what Melissa said and what legal counsel said, I think I would like it to say review and consider. Can we do that?
I'd rather try with this. Well, I don't. If we don't want discussion now, but the reason I want to have the language as it is, and I think the ad hoc committee knows this too, having worked it out, is that if this is supposed to be, the board always will have the ability, if there's a problem when these things are presented, to bring it back for consideration for altering it or denying it. I think the stated purpose of this provision is for transparency, mm-hmm. so the public knows what's going on. And as Mrs. Bland was just saying, it's about getting an awareness of the process and what is actually happening, more than to create a new hurdle for some what might be called entitlements, as Mr. Carmel said. I don't want to complicate things for people who have, essentially established water meter positions that are being used to see a new hurdle, whereas just having transparency, which I think is the purpose of this provision, is very well accommodated by that language of discussion and review. So I'd like to keep it the way it is. So no, I respectfully don't accept the amendment.
All right, Vice President Howell. And you unfortunately are muted as well.
sorry. To be appropriate, I'll go ahead and second the motion just so that we can get a motion on the floor. Although I'm a little, the question really is for Mr. Carmel on this, apropos of the adding the additional language. The way it's worded now, if something comes to the board as a result of this and the board takes no action, in other words, it's discussed and reviewed, but there is no consideration, so there is no vote. What would happen next? Does it just go forward, or is everything, what I'm wondering is, are we forced to take action, or can we not take action and let the process simply move along? And it's not clear to me at all what would happen. So, yeah, I need an interpretation on that.
It normally, and Melissa can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, normally these would just be issued by staff. And that's been criticized numerous times with good reason in the past, because it's a transparency issue. The public should be aware of what's going down specifically, what project's going to be moving forward. That's the purpose of this. If there is a situation in which there's discretion, I think I said this, there's some discretion, and that certainly can happen. It'll be set up for discretionary action by the board. Now, because of the nature of the existing commitment list, that's not likely, but it certainly can happen, and staff's aware of that. And if there is discretion, and the other thing to be said is, you can certainly say, the board can say to staff, we want to deny this. Set it up for denial. We don't want this to be issued. And staff's going to do that. Staff's going to say there's consequences there. We may get sued, et cetera, et cetera. And that's staff's job, to make the board aware of what the problems may be in taking that kind of an action. But certainly, if that's the board's direction, that's where it will go. As this is currently set up, it's set up to be self-executing. So you really would be just reviewing and discussing.
So to just get clarity then, so if the board chooses not to call it into question, then the board does nothing and it just continues on its path.
That's correct. And logistically, I think Melissa can tell you how that works. I'm not involved in that. But yeah, that's how I see it happening.
Okay. Yeah. Just wanted
and again, whether the word is included or not, consider is included or not, that's going to happen. If there is the ability to consider it for a discretionary action, you'll tell staff that, for one thing. One of you will, I can assure you that.
All right.
Okay.
So,
thanks.
Vice President Howell, did you want any further clarification on the process or description by Ms. Bland?
No, I think I've got it. Yeah, I was just concerned that we might be, it would look like it was one of those situations where if we took no action, nothing would happen, and that's not.
Yeah. Director Farmer, you haven't spoken yet.
Thank you, President Steidel. I think the whole idea behind this item, and Director Dean and myself putting this together, was to give more authority to the board on issues such as this. And Director Dean has just offered a slight amendment to this item for not just review and discussion, but consideration. And I totally concur with what she said. And I think that's the way the public would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Director Dean?
Well, I think based on what legal counsel just said, we do still have the option to request to deny it without actually changing the language. And I don't think we're going to get more than a couple of votes on changing the language, it appears. But the whole purpose of this, to me, was the fact that we're constantly being accused of rubber stamping these projects and putting them, behind closed doors. And the whole purpose of this was transparency, so that the public understood what was going on, why these projects were moving forward, and to give district council the opportunity to explain, if necessary, what the legal obligations were of the district relating to these particular projects. All of these projects on these lists do have meters in the ground, and I believe all of them have been paying a bi-monthly water bill. And I think that, yeah. So I withdraw my amendment.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, okay. So we have a motion, and I believe we had a second.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Vice President Howell, second. So Osana, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. Director Farmer?
No.
No. Thank you, Director Farmer. No. Director Dean?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Motion passes. 4-2-1.
All right. Thank you very much. So agenda item 6B for resolution 35-2021 passes the board with a vote of 4-1-0. All right. Thank you, everyone. All right. We'll move on then to agenda item C. And Mr. Weigel, would you introduce the item, please?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 6C is discussion and consideration of restroom design and approval of Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Commission recommendation. Staff recommends the board discuss and consider the PROS Commission's recommendations for the community park restroom design on the East Ranch. As you know, the Civil Design Studios, as a result of a grant we were awarded, has a charter to design a restroom for the East Ranch. The purpose of this review is to provide guidance to Civil Design Studios. That's Monty Soto, who's in attendance here. There were three options for restroom design, and the PROS Commission has recommended option C, as in Charlie. And you have some of the designs and layouts before you. I also want to make some time for Steve Niffen, to chairman of the PROS Commission, to review any comments from the PROS Commission perspective. Pending your questions, Monty Soto and I and Steve Niffen are standing by.
All right. Thank you.
And right, I should say Carlos. Carlos is
and Mr. Mendoza, all right. With that said, what I'd like to do then is move to public comment first, please.
I don't see
there's one.
Dr. Rebecca Thompson, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I really look forward to your discussion, because I know of nothing more germane to the present situation than toilets. Maybe you'll discuss toilets for affordable housing. Maybe you'll discuss toilets for porta potties downtown. I mean, it's just such a big issue these days with conservation, climate crisis, the drought, which is now never ending, I assure you. And I just can't wait to hear the substance of your discussion about which style should serve people who go to the dog park, because so far there's nothing else there to serve except the dog park. To make this decision before you deliberate on the whole arrangement of a community park in the East, on the East Ranch, strikes me as a bit odd. But on the other hand, I'm waiting with bated breath for your discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen.
Dr. Bettenhausen, there's no written comments.
All right. I'll bring it back to the board then. And I just want to clarify for the public, as the board is moving through its discussion, the discussion and consideration today has to do with the design only. It is getting a recommendation that's come to us from PROS about the design, but it isn't the consideration and vote to direct the actual execution of any design to be built on the park grounds. That would come later at some point, but this literally is just to the design. So, Are there any comments or questions that anyone on the board has? Let's see. Let me get, let's see. Director Farmer, please.
I did see that Vice President Howell had his hand up. I guess he changed his mind. I just want to follow up. I realize that all we're voting on is the design of this restroom. But as Dr. Bettenhausen said, It was roughly 20 years ago that the community was able to purchase this land for the ranch. And part of part of the arrangement was that the county loaned us $500,000 with the consideration that we would ultimately build some recreational facilities on the East Ranch. So here we are 20 years later, and we have a parking lot and a dog park. And it's a little bit disconcerting to see that this is the progress that we've made. And so now here we are trying to determine, well, we're probably going to approve what's ultimately going to be a $350,000 restroom. And we've already spent a little over $300,000 on the dog park. To me, that comes to like $250,000. And personally, I realize we're just voting on the design, but it would really be nice. And like I say, Dr. Bettenhausen kind of said what I had already written down. I'd like to know, since it says the restroom can serve up to 90 restroom users per hour. So I'd like to know, what are we going to be putting out there? I'd like to see a design about what we're going to be doing on the ranch, a particular timeline. And this might not even be pertinent to what we're discussing, but I would still like to see some timeline as to what we're going to do on the ranch, when we anticipate doing it, where the monies are going to come from. I'd really love to see that before we even move forward in any way, shape, or form with a bathroom for a dog park. And there's already a porta potty out there. So I realize I might be a little bit off the topic, but I just want to put that out there just for clarification for the public. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Gray.
A couple questions. I think one of them is either for Mr. Soto or Carlos, and the other one might be actually directed at Ms. Duffield. The question about for the engineer, the engineers and the facility people, is does this design, the cost estimates of these designs, do they include the cost of related to piping non-potable water for the flush toilets? We had that discussion a few months ago. We wanted to go that direction. Is that included in these estimates, these rough estimates?
Yeah, I can answer that one. The rough estimate of $100,000 was for minimal site work, site preparation for a building pad, the water utilities, the sewer line. So all the underground utilities, yes, to answer your question.
Thank you.
Very rough ballpark estimate. Mm-hmm. That's what we're including.
And my finance question is since we have a discussion, we're discussing what this is for, and it's only for design. Where did the money, I understand it being a grant and a grant specific to design. I mean, could you give me the details on that, Ms. Duffield?
Sure. The grant was from the County of San Luis Obispo. It was a beautification grant mm-hmm. for $20,000 just for design.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
And Director Dean?
Okay, so as far as what Director Farmer said, am I to understand that we are supposed to put restrooms in before we do any other development in the park, including any sports fields or anything? And is that why this is coming forward to us before we see the plan for everything else? And also, in looking at these designs, the first plan, Plan A, looks a lot like the type of restrooms that we have in both the East and the West Ranch, which seem to me are fairly simple maintenance-wise compared to what the other two designs look like to me. And also, I see that Plan B and Plan C include auto fixtures, which I'm assuming is motion sensing toilets and sinks. I don't see that listed for Plan A, and I think it would be a good thing to have those auto fixtures there because it would eliminate the possibility of people walking off and leaving faucets running, for one thing. So I just had a question about whether or not those are included in Plan A, because I think it would be a good idea if they were, and I am in favor of Plan A, because I think it'd be
Mr. Soto, can you clarify for us what the auto fixtures are?
Those fixtures are automatic electronic sensor fixtures, and they were not included in option A. Basically, that was just the absolute minimum building that you would need to meet the requirements. I don't think it's recommended to have standard fixtures. I think the automatic fixtures are definitely recommended by CCSD staff. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
So please consider, Mr. Soto.
Just continue, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was pretty much it, but the automatic fixtures are definitely recommended for maintenance. Carlos might want to add a little more here, but my understanding is it's much preferred for minimizing water use and maintenance.
So just to clarify something, when you say auto fixtures, are those the motion sensitive sensors?
Yes.
Okay. So in the case of the hand washing, I know that there are the stop release style that you can use on faucets also, where to get it to initiate, you have to push down on it and it only disperses water for a certain period of time and then shuts off. Are those still a type of fixture that's used, or are those considered outdated at this point?
That would be a possible fixture to get. However, that's not what we would recommend. Basically, the motion sensing fixtures are much better for, especially like with COVID, just people don't touch things as much. So
I think that's
what we recommend. My recollection was that the additional cost was like $3,500 for the upgraded fixtures.
Both the hand and the toilets.
The toilets, yeah, right. And I think Carlos had mentioned to me that the standard flush toilets, they get kicked because people don't want to touch the flush handle, and all the kicking action breaks.
Right. Makes sense. Okay, fine. I know you've got your hand up, Director Dean, but other directors haven't had a chance to talk yet. Did Eugene something clarified or?
Well, no, he answered my question. I wanted to know what the additional cost was going to be if we went. So he answered my question. Thank you.
Mr. Weichold, your hand was up.
Yes, I was just going to clarify a couple of questions. One was a observation by Director Farmer, and another question from Director Dean around why the restroom now? And the answer is, we can't do any further development on the East Ranch without a restroom. So ball fields, running track, running trail, exercise trail, all that is contingent on us. It's a requirement to have the restroom first. So while it's really difficult to wrap your arms around a beautiful restroom now, you kind of have to have some vision forward of 100 kids running around now with different ball fields. We don't know how we're going to get there yet. We don't know what the resources are, but this is the first step. And the other component on this from PROS is, so they're starting with the review of their master plan. That thing is almost 30 years old. That was before the ranch came along. So that plan, though, calls for a lot of these type of activities in the community. Now, after that master plan came out in 94, now we have the land to build it on. And there is a ranch plan that's going to need to be updated as well, because that's 2009-ish, I think, was the last time. So essentially, this is the first step in sort of a vision somewhat to be redeveloped going forward for recreation and parks in Cambria. That's how I'd recommend looking at this. We could always change things later, but of course, renovation is always more expensive. You're not doing an outright design approval right now. This is just a decision point and guidance for Monty to continue development of the plan.
Okay, thank you. And Director Howell?
No.
Thank you. Well, first I start out by saying I'm definitely in favor of a restroom in that location, and I certainly see the reasoning behind it if we're going to develop any additional recreation facilities. But I would like to hear from the PROS Commission, Mr. Niffen, as to, I'm really heading more towards the option A with the addition of automated fixtures. So I'd like to hear, the PROS Commission would prefer the option C. So I'd like to hear an argument for option C, please. So can you talk me into option C? Because right now I'm not seeing the additional $100,000 as, that's where I'm having a sticking point.
No, and so let me see if I can be quick and brief, right? The idea was that we came up with these we wanted to put some picnic tables there and a play structure. We weren't even talking further ahead. That's what led us to the bathroom. Literally some play structures and some swings for the little kids and a couple of picnic tables. The larger vision and the money where that comes from, don't know about the playing fields and on picnic tables, that we can get that money, but we need the bathroom. So now here we are. And it's a question to all of us. Are you going to buy the cheap one? Or are you going to buy the good one? That really kind of came down to the option, the good one. And then I'm just like, I'm so sorry that my water district is literally discussing the ramifications of restrooms. I'm like, you guys have so many more important things. That's when they're like, this is for a committee. Oh my gosh. Because Kermit, literally we have hammered on all of this stuff. We have discussed the intricacies of the stuff you put on the inside of the rock walls to keep graffiti away. Do you know what I'm saying? But it all comes down to money. Does there need to be storage in this facility? Is it worth that expenditure? If it was at your house, do you pay for the closet or do you just buy the cheap one? That was the idea. And the idea of the $20,000 was just to have these plans. I would say, yeah, vote for the number three one. When you guys find the money, build that one. And then that's where we were going to go from there. That's when the skate park popped up. And it was like, no, this is much better use of our money on the dime right now, getting kids active right here. But I still think that once we have the plan and we've accepted the plan, then we can go get more grant money next time out there and we can look, because, and that was the idea of the original plan, is that we wanted to get some grant money and they said, well, you guys don't even have a plan. So that's where the $20,000 grant was to develop the plan. And so that's it right there. At least that's my rudimentary understanding of where I'm at.
Okay, thank you. Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. So I just want to make a brief comment or correction. Director Dean was making her comments there, and I think she was talking about the restrooms, and she said the East and West Ranch. I know she meant the East and West Village. So I just wanted to make that observation there. Also, I believe I just heard our general manager say that this particular item was for approving a restroom, not necessarily the design, whereas in fact, that's exactly what we're doing, is we're approving a design of the restroom. With regard to the cheap one, I think as Mr. Niffen said, the cheap one or the good one, it is interesting what Director Dean stated and Vice President Howell stated, they would have no problem with design A, which is $100,000 less, especially since it basically is just like the ones that we already have in the East and West Village. So maybe that isn't such a bad idea. But then again, if we're going to have kids running around, and I'm not poo-pooing this, we'd love to see a lot of recreation out there for people of all ages. And maybe it's going to need to serve 90 people an hour, and maybe we need the fancier. Oh, and it's also for graffiti. So anyway, I'll just step back. I'm probably just babbling on. My apologies. It was just those two corrections I wanted to make. Thank you.
All right. Vice President Howell.
Okay. Again, this is sort of directed back to Mr. Niffen. So I'm willing to support Plan C if it's the case that it does not get built unless PROS gets the grant for it. If you're willing to go that way, then I'm willing to support it. But otherwise, I'd have to go with Plan A because I don't see where else that $100,000 is going to come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that statement.
I'll interject something. I don't know that PROS can get a grant. I mean, the CCSD can get a grant, but the PROS doesn't have the authority to obtain a grant or the fiduciary responsibility for considering one. So I think it's unfortunately, I think it's a matter of that having to do, I mean, they may research and find an opportunity for the CCSD to apply for, but the actual application wouldn't be appropriate for PROS.
I agree with that. Thank you. I just want to be in the hunting business, not in the application business.
I haven't had an opportunity to mention anything yet, so I guess I will take that as we're repeating conversations by directors. I understand the statements made regarding the progression of the good, better, best. I'm inclined to A myself, and one of the major reasons is something that we fight continuously right now in terms of revenue and resource, and that is maintenance cost. I understand what Mr. Niffen was saying about the stone block, but I mean, we're talking about wood siding that's either going to have to be maintained in some way. I'm not concerned about the idea of, you know, 90 people an hour being able to use something. All that is just a reference point for saying what the capacity is. We don't want to take on a design that can only accommodate 3 people an hour. I mean, we need to understand that what's being, you know, set before us for consideration is something that has some expansion in terms of use. So that 90 people an hour is not a problem for me. In terms of what's available between A and C, really are the auto fixtures, which I agree is the smart thing to do. But the rest of it is all architectural and appearance related with some storage. I see additional potential maintenance costs related to having the vertical structures for maintaining the extended roof on item C. Again, I go back to the maintenance costs as being a part of it. The other part of it is, frankly, we've got 2 other bathrooms in our community that are essentially item A. And the idea of moving towards something as visually different as C to go on the ranch, where we would then start adding amenities to for sports activities or whatever. I think people would ask what in the name of God we were doing putting, you know, such as since a fancy bathroom out on the East Ranch when we've got block bathroom accesses every place else in town that we service. So personally, I think that what's offered in A is probably an excellent idea. I also think that there's potentially significant cost increase as far as item C is concerned, just in getting it started. Just the size of the slab is larger. I mean, it's something as basic as that. I know that the cost for being able to put C on the ground are going to be a lot more than A. So that's my position or feedback on the information. Director Gray?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion.
All right.
I move that the board accept or adopt, I should say, option A as a restaurant design with the addition of automated automated fixtures for the East Ranch restroom.
Thank you. Is there a second? Director Dean?
I'll second that motion, but I would also like to add the fact that an all block building like Plan A is more fireproof than buildings with all that wood siding and stuff on it.
Very good point.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Excellent. Thank you for that reference point also. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Osana, may we move to roll call, please?
Can you hear me?
Now you can, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Director Gray made the motion to adopt option A with the addition of automated features as well as
fixtures.
Director Dean.
Fixtures, yeah.
Fixture. Automated fixtures.
Fixture.
F-I-X-T-U-R-E. Okay.
Fixtures. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And as well as a fireproofing what wall?
No. I think that's just a point in his favor.
That was just a comment.
Just a point
yeah,
I think it's already there.
Yeah. Could you restate the motion, please, Director Gray?
Yeah, I move that the Board of Directors adopt option A with the addition of automated fixtures for the design of the restrooms at East Ranch.
Thank you. Yeah. So now we have the roll call, please, Asana.
Sure. And so Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray, aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Dean, aye. Thank you. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. And Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell, aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel, aye. 5 ayes. Thank you.
Thank you. So agenda item 6C for selection of the restroom design A with the addition of the automatic fixtures is passed on a vote of 5-0. Thank you all.
President Steidel?
Yes.
I just want to make one brief comment. I see that Steve has dropped off here. He may be listening, but he's not, physically visible. So I just want to thank him and his commission for the work that they did on this project, even if we didn't agree with their decision. And I want to thank Monty for all the work that he did in providing these three options, so we actually had something to discuss. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer, and well said. I appreciate that. Director Gray?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
Hand down, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Soto, for being here this afternoon. It was appreciated. I know it took a little while for us to get to where we had our exchange in this, and I appreciate you waiting around and participating. It was valuable.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. And Steve, if you're still there, thank you. All right, so on to agenda item 6D. And Mr. Weigel, would you please introduce the item?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 6D is discussion and consideration of adoption of Ordinance 02-2021, which amends subsection D4, E3, and H of section 8.04.080 of the CCSD Municipal Code relating to water and sewer service procedures. It is recommended that the board adopt this ordinance, amending those sections of the Municipal Code by title only and waive further reading. As background information, at the August 19th regular meeting, the board introduced this ordinance, which implemented these three recommendations of the intent to serve ad hoc committee. amending subsection D4, E3, and H, which require all applications requiring any EDUs to be considered by the board. Our district council is standing by, as well as our project program manager, Melissa Bland.
All right. So this this is actually incorporating three actions out of the recommendations that came from that ad hoc committee. And it's the consideration by the board for request of extensions on intent to serve, to be also any extensions of connection permits to be considered by the board. And that's pretty sure. Oh, and applications requiring, what did I think there was in the way that it was read? Okay.
EDUs.
Yeah, EDUs rather than as a press. Yes, thank you. So, consideration of EDUs and extensions in the other two items. So just to reconfirm, Ms. Bland, this isn't directed towards remodels in any way.
No.
Okay, thank you. So would like to move to public comment, please.
Ms. Heinrichs, go ahead, please.
Thank you again. Yes, thank you for bringing this up and for bringing these into public consideration and public notice. These, of course, you realize that, as Ms. Bland has reported, these will be continued to be denied by the Coastal Commission. So bear that in mind as you move forward in your future deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Is there any other public comment, Osana?
I don't see any raised hands, and all right. Don't see any.
Do we have any written comment?
Board comment? None. Thank you.
All right. Then I will bring it back to the board for discussion. And does anyone have any questions? This is kind of the end process of something that went through the ad hoc. It was actually dealt initially as an action review by resolution, which we passed, and then provided as direction back to staff to come forward with any recommended revisions by ordinance to our documentation. Director Dean.
Okay, again, this is an item that we recommended, these three items. We recommended for transparency, so things are done before the public. And if there's no other questions from the rest of the board, I would like to make a motion to approve the adoption of Ordinance 02-2021, amending subsections D4, E3, and H of Section 8.04.080 of the CCSD Municipal Code relating to water and sewer service procedures.
Okay.
And waiving further reading.
And, oh, excuse me. And waiving.
Thank you. Director Dean?
Oh.
That's Director Gray.
Yeah. Pending a second, I just had one question. I think you have the answer to it. Is the language here, have any changes been made in the language here from what we approved provisionally on the 19th of August? I don't believe so, but.
No.
Just in case, none. Okay.
No.
I second the motion, so that doesn't have to be repeated.
All right. And Director Farmer, do you still have a question before we take it to roll call?
I was just hoping I could actually second it myself, but it's not a big deal.
Okay. Sorry, I was just going by the listing of the names.
It's no problem.
The only... That was the formula I used to call on folks. Okay. We have a first and a second for the motion. And Osana, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. And President Seidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Seidel. 5 ayes.
Good.
Thank you. So agenda item 6-0 was passed 5-0 for adoption of ordinance 02-2021 with amendments to subsections D4, E3, and H of section 804.080 of our municipal code. Thank you. And my thanks to the ad hoc committee that provided all of the recommendations that we've been able to move forward and actually to address some items which have been outstanding to the community for a long time. And there should be a great deal of satisfaction felt by the ad hoc committee for the work that they did. And thank you also, Ms. Bland, for all of the work that you did in assisting that ad hoc committee in being able to move these things forward to us for the board actions as they've occurred. So thank you, everyone. All right.
May I also thank legal counsel for his help in this endeavor too?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, moving forward then on the agenda to item 7, board member, committee, and liaison reports. And so first I'll call for any public comment relative to the reports attached to the agenda package. And Osana?
Amanda Rice. Do I have Amanda Rice?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is a general comment about this section of the agenda. I want to commend this board for the transparency and putting in the extra work to produce these reports for the public so that the public that doesn't attend these meetings but does read these agendas doesn't just get the minutes but also gets a good solid report of what's happening. It's also good for historical context going back. So 5 years from now, people can look back and see what was happening with finance or what was happening with the NCAC rather than just having an oral report. So I just wanted to, I think it's a great change and it's a benefit to the community.
Well, thank you for that positive feedback. I have to commend all of the individuals who are supporting the process in this way with reports that they're making. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that it's a benefit for all of us. It's been already been beneficial to me a few times when I've had to go back and try to get myself oriented to the background of something or the way that it evolves. So it's a wonderful tool. So kudos to everybody. I agree. I will then, let's see, is there another public comment, Osana?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Rice. Dr. Wittenhausen, go ahead, please.
Yes. Am I missing something on a report from the Standing Committee on Policy? What page is that on, please?
There is none.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I will definitely look forward to one a month from now then. I find listening to the meetings a real challenge to my comprehension often. That's not a negative, Vice President Howell. Would you convey that message to him, President Steidel, please? Thank you.
He's right here listening to you.
Well, but I've got instructions from your bylaws to talk only to you, and I don't want to forget that. So thank you, President Steidel. Goodbye.
You're welcome, Dr. Bettenhausen. Thank you. Dr. Bettenhausen sends her regards, Dr. Howell.
Thank you. I don't
All right. have any any additional comments from any of the board members? Okay. Then we will accept these reports from the agenda. And that moves us to the future agenda items. There were several items that were mentioned today by the public in terms of the types of things that we want to consider for agenda items. So do I have any recommendations for agenda items from any of the directors? And Director Gray, you're first in the hot
seat. A couple. I think David Pearson's suggestion of having an ad hoc either an ad hoc or maybe chairs, of course, then I'm asking for a job here, chairs of the, say, R&I and Finance Committee, look into the how do we handle the proceeds from the lawsuit settlement on the WROF is a sound idea. We should put the agenda for somewhere in the near future. I have two other items, actually. One is simple. Since we, I don't know what the timing is of having the vacancy being advertised on Finance Committee, but obviously I don't know what the timeline is on that. It's always, you know, not good to have, you know, be down one member. And we probably should get that on the agenda as soon as possible now that we've doing it for the Finance Committee, I mean, Policy Committee. So I think that we should follow that same schedule.
Okay.
The other one is this is a follow-up on a comment I think that President Steidel made. And I think I was thinking about it too. And this might tie into the bylaw review that's coming up, but maybe we need to define more carefully in the bylaws, in any fashion, what the relationship of the board and the PROS Commission is. Because the board has bylaws now that apply to the three standing committees. They're it's quite distinct about how they're organized, what their tasks are, how they report to the board, and so forth. I don't believe there's anything, and maybe somebody can correct me, any policy on the record, adopted policy that defines what the PROS Commission's precise role is.
Relationship to the board.
That's an excellent point. The possibility that it should be a fourth standing committee. But these are bylaw questions, and it should be taken up as a part of the bylaws. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a good time to do it because we're getting to that season.
Potentially the opportunity to discuss or address the idea of having a director.
Right. And that's standing on committee model. Yeah. The standing committee right. model, I think, is something we should consider.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Director Farmer.
Thank you. Before I make my future agenda item, I neglected to say this during discussion on item 6C. Folks might be interested in knowing that there are actually more cell phones on the planet than there are restrooms. Just wanted to throw that little tidbit out there. Also, I realize that right now, Finance Manager Duffield kind of has her hands full. I mean, we did finish the audit and everything, but she's in charge of payroll now because they're down a staff member. So I know she's got her hands full. But I'd like to bring up something that I brought up in the past and maybe do it a little bit differently. I'd like to make a motion that we approve an agenda item to request the finance department to provide the board and the ratepayers of the community the true cost of the facility originally known and still permitted for the emergency water supply project, now known as the water reclamation facility. And for this to be discussed on the date no later than, I believe it's November 18th. So it's about a little over 2 months from now. So I'd like to make a motion and hopefully get a second on that and perhaps get a vote on it as well.
Cindy, muted.
For clarification, Director Farmer, What do you mean by true cost? What does that mean?
Just what it says.
No, in financial
terms. Because there's been deliberation.
No, in financial terms, that isn't a...
Okay, go ahead and finish your comment.
Well, true cost... Are you talking about the
how much
expenses that have been paid out, or are you talking about...
Well, let me just say this.
Is it cost to date, or is it estimated cost in total? I mean, it's...
Okay, so let me just clarify this. So I have added up all the items in the expenditure report for the EWS, the AWTP, the SWF, and the WRF since July of 2014, and I came up with the figure. Other people on the finance committee have come up with a totally different figure that's about one third of what I came up with. Now, when I first ran for office, the main concern that people had, they'd come up, how much is this facility costing us? And people still want to know. So I'm sure that there is a way for the finance committee, the finance department, to determine how much ratepayers' money has been spent on this facility so far. I don't see where that should be too difficult,
okay.
Especially because I think all of us have a tremendous amount of respect for the knowledge and abilities of Ms. Duffield.
Okay, so what you're talking about in terms of true cost is what has been spent so far. Because
I feel like this is a setup here.
But it isn't.
Point of order. Point of order here. This is getting discussion.
Yeah, it's getting discussion. I wanted.
Okay, Director Gray.
I wanted to second the motion.
Okay.
Because Director Farmer is asking the right people to tell us what the cost is, and I think it'd be left up to Ms. Duffield to decide, define the terms, because she's the finance director. She will know, be the expert. She's the expert here on what things cost. Present costs, let's say costs up to now, costs going forward, whatever. So I second the motion.
Okay.
As long as we're not burdening her too much.
Okay. And yeah. Vice President Howell. Oh, you're still muted. Appear muted.
Yeah. No, I basically wanted to raise a point of order and just get it. It seems to me the agenda item is just discuss and consider and discuss the cost of the WRF to date.
Or get a report. Yeah, get a report from finance. Yeah.
Get a report.
Yeah, a report. Yeah.
We should probably include some flexibility in the time frame because we're awful free with Ms. Duffield's time here.
And I agree with that.
We have an amendment in there that it be a suggested date with the understanding that it might have to be delayed in some, I don't know what the wording would be.
Okay. So is that a friendly amendment to Director Farmer's motion?
Yeah.
Director Farmer?
Well, I'd like to leave it at November 18th. And if Ms. Duffield comes back on the meeting of November 11th and says, I don't believe I can fulfill that commitment to be able to have it done by the 18th. And then we'll just find out what's convenient for her and go from there.
Okay. I do have one other suggestion also as far as frameworking this. I know that your references to the values that you had determined are significantly different than what you have heard from the Finance Committee and from Ms. Duffield. So perhaps part of that is that you provide to Ms. Duffield how you determined the larger number. That way, when we have her information and your information, then we can understand the differences. And I think that's how you solve the issue in information to the community.
Well, I should be able to do that, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So So Ms. Duffield, let's allow you to have a conversation in this or a moment.
So the confusion is because the total costs every month are being added together. The total costs every month are a combination of operational cost, debt service payments, and we still have some final cost related to the final construction of the plant because we still have costs to complete the permit. So I think that is where the confusion lies. So what I will try to plan to do is separate those three categories. What did it cost to construct the plant? What has been the operational costs thus far? And what is the debt service? And what is the debt service going forward?
Good.
And hopefully that should simplify the confusion. But you can't just look at the bottom line expenditure report every single month and continually add those up because, you know, you're duplicating costs in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we borrowed money to construct the plant. So, we're getting included in what it's cost the community.
Right. So we are getting into conversation and I see Mr. Carmel's hand up and I'm assuming that might be part of it. So, listen, Director Farmer, I believe that you asked for the.
I made a simple motion and it was seconded by Director Gray.
Right.
So do you want to just go with the simple motion and potentially have friendly amendments to it? Or how do you want to handle it?
Well, as long as they're friendly. Sure, I don't want to have an unfriendly amendment.
So may we hear the motion again?
Okay, I make a motion to provide the board and the ratepayers of Cambria with the true cost of the facility now known as, I'll just leave it at that, as the water reclamation facility. And I don't know if I should add any dates in, but since essentially we initially started spending money on this facility in late spring, early summer of 2014. Just want to put that out there.
Is that part of your motion?
No, I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, so your motion is the true motion for the true cost, Ms. Duffield, to provide the true cost of the WRF. Is that the motion? I'm sorry, it's just...
Should I restate it?
Please.
True.
Okay.
Right. I'd like to make a motion to approve an agenda item to provide the board and the ratepayers of Cambria with the true cost of the facility, now known as the Water Reclamation Facility. At a date no later than November 18th, 2021. And, you know, I request the finance department to do this. And I'm just putting a date out there, and that's open for, obviously, for change if it doesn't fit Ms. Duffield's schedule.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
So that's the motion. Director Gray?
Friendly amendment. After true cost, add to ratepayers. Is that okay? True cost to ratepayers?
To the board and the ratepayers of Cambria.
It doesn't cost the board
anything. Ratepayers of the facility.
Well, the report.
Yeah.
Well, it's the ratepayers' money.
Okay, the report. Okay.
I'm only saying that because it's the ratepayers. I see that Director Dean's getting a little bit perturbed here. So,
yeah.
I just want to make sure that the ratepayers, I'm including them because they paid the money and they're the ones that want to know as much as I do and hopefully all the other board members do as
well. The only thing I want to add to ratepayers at that point, true cost, after the word true cost, because the reason I say that, I don't want to get into discussion here, but you know, there are other sources of money. There was a grant, state grant, there was a loan proceeds. What the ratepayers are paying is, I think, what we're and have been paying is what we're focused on.
That's a good
one. In your motion, you were talking about this being a report which gave true cost. Well, I think probably the idea of the report is to provide, you're asking for Ms. Duffield to provide information in the form of a report. Regarding the true cost to ratepayers,
yes,
of the WRF.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think that's. I'll tell you what. Since that's not really what I meant, we're just providing the report to the board and the ratepayers of the community. So why don't I just remove ratepayers from the agenda item, and that'll make it a little less confusing.
But ratepayers was what the Findlay Amendment was. That was what Director Gray was offering.
I'm gonna add ratepayers. His wording. Yeah.
Can I jump in?
Please.
I think the issue here, the true cost is not the report to the ratepayers, but the issue that Director Gray was bringing up is what was the cost to the ratepayers versus other costs which would have been paid for by grants. So I think that was what he was trying to clarify.
Pardon me for interrupting, Vice President Howell, and perhaps I am causing the confusion, and no doubt when Mr. Calderwood writes a report on this particular meeting, he'll probably point out, wow, that last item that the board discussed before they went to closed session sure got confusing. However, so let me just say that, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agenda item that provide the board, the CCSD board, with the true cost of the facility now known as the Water Reclamation Facility.
All right. So is there a second to that motion? Vice President Howell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go ahead and second that.
All right. Director Dean?
Okay. I think where some of this confusion is, does Director Farmer want the total cost of the facility, regardless of where the funds came from, in other words, including the grants that we got, or does he want the true cost of the facility that actually came out of the ratepayers' pockets, not including the grants we got?
Well, that's why I removed ratepayers. It was more to inform the ratepayers. That's why I put the ratepayers in there, because they're the ones that are concerned about how much it costs. So I'm just removing that. It's just about the true cost that we've spent on this facility so far.
Okay, let's leave it with that.
Leave it with that.
Okay.
And I'm sorry this became so confusing. I had no idea that was going to happen. But in the past 7 years, it's kind of been that way. So why shouldn't making an amendment on this be equally confusing or problematic? Pardon my humor.
Okay.
So. All right. So I believe we have a motion.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
Asana, is there anything that you have, or have you just been waiting for us to sort through this?
No, I do. I do have what he said, the last thing he did say.
All right, was thank you.
To provide the CCSD board with the true cost of the facility now known as the WRF. Right.
Yeah, after this discussion, it maybe should be briefly the WTF, but we'll just move on. Thank you.
No,
Harry. Hey, that sounds, yeah.
And then, okay.
That sounds, yeah. Accurate.
So, that sounds fine, Osana. Thank you. And so, roll call, please.
Director Farmer, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. Director Gray.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Dean.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. And President Steidel.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you, President Steidel.
And I'd like to make a recommendation, since it wasn't part of the motion, that Director Farmer provide his enumeration to support his position of his number, so that we can compare that to the results that are brought to us to understand the differences between the two and address the issue once and for all, so that everyone will understand.
Good.
So that is a recommendation. It wasn't part of the motion, but I think that it's important that Ms. Duffield has that to be able to make the comparison. Thank you. Any other agenda items?
No.
Have we had enough? Okay. Thank you. With that, then, we'd be in a position of being able to adjourn to closed session. So before we do that, I'll ask for any public comment. So we will adjourn to closed session. And is there public comment?
Yes, there are two raised hands, and I think Jim Berenger had his raised hand during
future agenda. I'm having difficulty. You've got a lot of echo in your
speech. I think it's because of my proximity to the office. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Jim Berenger had his hand up since the future agenda item, so I think he might have a future agenda item comment that we never got to.
I'll tell you what, since we've already closed that out and we were moving to closed session, Mr. Barringer, could you do us a favor and direct your recommended agenda item to the board of directors? And we will take that up in consideration. And I apologize if that was the case. And just to clarify with you whether that it was an agenda item.
Should I allow him to talk?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Berenger.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that on doing some research yesterday and after the PROS Commission meeting, I noticed that in 2017, the bylaws and processes were pretty well defined, and they're quite complete. Staff is attending these meetings, which we really appreciate.
Oh, so Mr. Barringer, yes. Yeah, we can't go that far back.
Can't go that
that's,
far.
That's back. Something that we've passed way by in the agenda. So, thank you. But any comments that you can provide and direct it to the board, that would be.
I thought that was a future agenda item you put on there, but okay. No, I'll let it be.
Okay. Okay, if it was a future agenda item, then can you framework
it? Yeah, I'll just be real brief. I just looked at the bylaws because of the Tuesday's meeting, and two chief things that were avoided was neglected by the PROS is to give input to the budget. We always assumed we didn't have any budget, and budget came down, when in fact the PROS should be, according to the processes, be going up.
And Mr. Barringer, I'm sorry, can I please ask that you send that as a suggested agenda item?
That was the suggestion. You wanted to change the structure of PROS. That's all. That was the future agenda item you put up. Just wanted to give you a comment.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
So, Osana?
Thank you, Mr. Berenger. Dr. Bettenhausen, go ahead, please.
Yes, I hope that former Director Berenger sends in his comments because they are pertinent to what you had put on a future agenda item. But I want to look at what's imminent right here, and that is your closed session sessions in reviewing, I assume, the work of your general manager. I do not want to be very specific in my comments about how I would do that, but I hope that you might have already paid attention to the PROS meeting and what I said about one pattern I'm discovering, and that is that very, very often, almost always, when the general manager is reporting on something of which he has been in charge, other than an agenda item as written, he often begins his comments, "I just learned this morning." In other words, he is in charge of the management of the whole district, including consultants managing that contract and how it's affected. And I hope that you will evaluate, when you evaluate the general manager, the patterns of his behavior in terms of taking the responsibilities for which you hired him. I don't want to sound negative. I simply want to say that in my recollection of when I sat on boards and evaluated staff performance, we got much further ahead, much less painfully, when we were very specific about all aspects of the competence of the person who is performing the responsibilities to which we that we assigned to her or him. So I urge you to be very, very careful, board members, in your deliberations. We've had a long history here in this district on the evaluations of general managers, as you well know. So I wish you the best. It's not even 5 o'clock. I thank you heartily that even in spite of all my comments, you didn't even go to 5 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. And Osana?
Dr. Bettenhausen, yes. And Amanda Rice, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I just, in seeing the GM evaluation and labor negotiations, I would just urge your board to think clearly about how you're going to move forward with the district and think about succession planning as you're working on labor negotiations, not because you expect Mr. Weigold to be leaving anytime soon, but just so that the district is prepared, because eventually he will retire. And you don't want to be caught off guard, as some of you were on the board during the GM search where Mr. Weigold was hired. It's not a fun process to go through. So if you can plan ahead for that, it's a good idea.
Thank you, Ms. Rice. All right. We appear to have addressed all of the public comment relative to closed session. And so I move to close and move to do the closed session. So in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean.
May we have 10 minutes before we resume closed session?
Absolutely. That was going to be my next suggestion, as we didn't have any, it did not have a bio break. How about if we start at 5 o'clock with the closed session? Will that work for folks? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Recording stopped.